Hey there, and welcome to the latest episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy, the podcast that helps you navigate the ever-changing landscape of mobile marketing. Hello, I'm Kim Stewart, and welcome to this week's podcast, Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy. We're going to take a slightly different tack this week and talk about online marketing and how online marketers can effectively use mobile wallet marketing. I'm going to title this edition, Online Meets on Mobile. So, as I said in the intro, we are taking a slightly different tack this week. The past several weeks, we have been discussing realtors, real estate agents, brokerages, how they can best use mobile wallet marketing to integrate into their current marketing for some tremendous engagement with potential sellers and potential buyers. If you'd like to hear those episodes, they're available on iTunes and they're also available on our dominoresearch.com website. This week, we're going to shift our focus over to online marketing. And for those of you who aren't super familiar with online marketing, this can be anything from your content marketing, where you're creating blog posts, articles, infographics, etc., and distributing those to potential prospects or getting people into your funnel via those methods. Or it could be things like your programmatic advertising, display ads, banner ads, advertorials. Any of the main ways that you would distribute a message that would get a reaction from somebody on their computer, on their tablet, or on their mobile phone. And we were at AdTech last week. AdTech is one of the sort of premier online mainstream marketing trade show slash conferences. This particular version was in San Francisco, and they've been having AdTech in San Francisco for a number of years now. And every time we go, we kind of sort of start our day by taking stock of what the hot new, everybody's doing it, all of the booths are focused in this direction sort of thing is. And one thing that we found on this trip was there really is no one hot thing. I'll give you a couple of examples. 2 years ago, I think it was, business intelligence dashboards. There were probably 25% of the exhibitors were all pushing business intelligence dashboards. This time we really only saw one or two companies who were still there advertising it. 5 years ago, maybe educational offers were the big thing. It seemed like every booth was pushing some sort of an educational offer, whether it was an affiliate program or a back-end software or whatever. So what generally tends, like I say, to happen at AdTech is you can get an idea of what's up and coming in the ad world. Well, we were kind of, I'm going to say, sorely disappointed this trip because there was really nothing that was like super new, super fantastic. There were honestly so many payment processing companies there that you can kind of tell when an industry has completely matured. When you get to the point that there are as many payment processors as other non-payment processing related products, it's kind of time for a shakeup. And to give them some credit, the current owners of AdTech bought it a couple years ago, and they're going to move the show to Los Angeles for the West Coast May edition of next year. Now, we're really excited about that. I'm not sure how many of you know, but I lived in LA for a number of years before I moved up to the Bay Area, and the weather, for starters, is absolutely better. Price-wise, housing, things like that, definitely no better. They're kind of about the same. But we're all excited. We can't wait to go. Anyway, we ran into Hazel and myself, a couple of people that we knew from previous online marketing. As you guys are probably aware, Hazel and I have been doing internet marketing since back in the 1990s. Hazel had a very successful affiliate program with some live streaming software, and I worked in affiliate marketing, business development, and I dare say it, payment processing. But I worked in payment processing before it was cool. So let's just leave it there. We ran into, as I say, a couple people that we already knew, separate people who we stopped to chat with. And, in the general course of what are you doing? How are you doing it? How's it going? What's the problems? What's the great stuff? Because, I mean, really, everybody loves to brag when they find something new that's really working for them. We didn't have that this time. Again, it's kind of a flat time in advertising, which is very odd since there are so many possibilities for new stuff. And maybe it's just because the people who have been around forever think they've seen it all and aren't really interested in believing that there is something new until you actually show them there is something really new, really great, and the possibilities are almost unlimited. So the first guy that we ran into was a friend of Hazel's from Canada. And he is working with a company that does a skincare product. And, it's an online skincare product. It's a pretty good product, actually, from what I've seen of it. And their method of advertising is online advertising. People sign up, they get a sample. 2 weeks later, they are billed on a recurring basis once a month. They get new product once a month. A lot of people simply are too lazy to quit or they like the product. So, it's got a pretty decent amount of stickiness to it. The other company that we ran into was a really good friend of mine, and he has partnered with another friend of mine to do a product that is a vapor diet. And I know another guy from Florida who's been doing a vapor diet product for a couple years very, very successfully. Marrying the technology of the whole electronic cigarette vapor sort of thing, which has been kind of a hot deal coming and going, very unregulated as well, with a diet, which is something that everybody is always looking at and always doing and is always a seller. That's pretty clever, if you ask me. So, in both of their cases, we looked at what they had and what they were doing. Brief rundown. This is what we do. This is how we do it. We're relying on email. We're relying on affiliate sales and so on and so forth. And those are all great things, tried and true methods, especially the email. But at the end of the day, there is a big gap in the knowledge here. When we explained mobile wallet marketing to each of these guys, in turn, they were absolutely amazed. It's such a simple concept and it's so easy to understand, especially if you have, 10 or 15 years of online marketing experience. The opportunity to marry your online marketing with a sort of an offline component, which is, it's not really offline, it's on mobile instead of online per se. That's something that we preach to brick and mortar business owners. We preach it to the realtors. We preach it to the restaurant owners. It is our religion in mobile wallet marketing, so to speak. But the ability as a strictly online marketer to drop a pass into specifically iOS users. Both of the guys talked about the fact that anytime they can get into an iOS user situation versus, say, a Google Wallet or a Windows phone or an Android user's device, that's like money in the bank. And as you probably are aware at this point, especially if you've listened to any of our other podcasts or you have checked out any of our web pages, you realize that the iOS experience for mobile wallet marketing, when it's done via Apple Passbook, is such a super, super easy, simple, fabulous way to connect with iOS users and stay connected with iOS users. And, bottom line is the iPhone owner is the cream of the crop when it comes to targeted demographics for marketing anything that has an online component. Now, It's just one of those things. It's nothing against Android users. I know a lot of people, including myself, really like their Android phones. But when you've got an iOS user, those people tend to spend more and spend more often. And that is just a simple set of reported numbers, and it is a fact at this point. The other really nice thing that you will find with Apple Passbook is it gives you the presence in Apple Watch from day one. So anytime you have a pass that's been dropped into a Passbook on an Apple device, an iOS device, because Passbook only works on iPhone, it does not work on iPad, you're going to have that available in Apple Watch straight away. So right there, you have increased your ability to market to a new targeted segment without doing anything. The only real thing I would suggest that you do is that you are careful in your titling of your passes and in your text lines of your passes. As we know, the images in standard Passbook don't at the moment pop up in the Apple Watch. Only the text does. So think very carefully about your headlines and your text lines. This ability to get sticky really goes beyond anything else available right now. And again, that's thanks to the nature of Apple Passbook. It's a native app. You can't get it out of the phone. I suppose you could root the phone and get rid of it. But I'm not even sure that that would work because of the hooked up nature with the Apple Watch. And realistically speaking, the average person is not going to root their phone anyway. It's only some of the more techno geeks, for lack of a better word, who are into doing stuff like that. So the average person with the average credit card or perhaps the average Apple Pay is going to have the Passbook as it was from the factory. Nothing's going to change. They're going to be using it straight away. So, we use the passes to drive traffic back to specific links or specific pages or specific actions that we wish to have the users complete. We'll make a change to a pass. We'll send out an update. We'll send out a push notification. It goes straight to the lock screen. And the users will then have the option of opening up the pass from the lock screen. They can flip it over to the back where the live links are. And we will then push them to this new URL or this new podcast or pretty much anything that we want to send them to. We can have them do an action such as call in to a call center. We can give them, if it were the case of like hyperlocal marketing, we can give them an address and they can get a map with driving directions, etc., etc. Probably the live links in some of the cases, such as the maps, don't really apply to online marketers so much as they do to offline marketers like our real estate professionals, but it's available. If you had a specific set of traffic that you had targeted and managed, and remember when I talk about the ability that Apple gives you to manage, a lot of the management has to be done at both the point of origination and the point of reconnection. So you're able to change the passes, you're able to add and subtract, change the links, change the graphics, change the text, change the colors, all of that good stuff. But at the end of the day, it is still a pass that goes in at one point and a pass that stays in from that point. Once it's in the wallet and it's been installed, we know it's there. We don't know specifically who the person is. We don't have a way in the current Apple system to give you specifics about who this person is or what demographic this person is in. So it requires a little bit of thought when you're setting up your campaigns and when you're setting up your click-through links. And one of the things as an online marketer that you want to look at is multiple passes. You really want to consider making multiple passes. It's almost like a landing page. It's very, very similar actually to a landing page. And you know what everybody says, including us, every campaign should have its own landing page. Well, We'd take this one step further and say that every landing page should have its own paths. And what this allows you to do, if you set it up properly and you're somewhat organized with it, is you can really drill down and you can say that I sent out a email campaign for this, and this group of people put the passes into their phone, and I'm now going to mold this group of people and, you know, work with these passes to drive this particular group of people to do a certain thing. So what this really means for online marketing is that you are creating what we call a hybrid online on mobile method of sticky contact with prospects, and you have increased your ability to communicate and engage with these prospects exponentially. You don't need, in the case of an email campaign, to send one email for this, one email for that, another email the next day, and watch your open rates sort of start to plummet as the days go on, or maybe not plummet, depending on how good your email marketing is. You're embedding yourself into their device. And once you're embedded in their device, again, I'll go back to the point we made earlier, which is today, right now, 90% of these passes are staying in iOS. I'll also reiterate the point that we made a few minutes ago that we don't expect the 90% success rate to hold. We think that probably you're going to be looking at a more realistic 50% stick rate over the next few months. And as the adoption grows, the rate will go down. It won't be such a novelty item. It will be something that, on the flip side, it won't be such a novelty item, actually. Let me rephrase that. Once people are used to it, and once people have started using it, and they like it, because it's amazing. It's so simple, it's so easy, it's part of Apple, it almost has the Apple seal of approval, little quotation marks there, and it does not require an app. That is probably the biggest takeaway for online marketers, or any marketers actually, to think about and to really mull over. We say this all the time, I'm going to say it one more time. If you rely on an app, you're never going to get traction. Unless you are Disney or EA or, you know, even Rovio, Angry Birds. It took them almost 60 tries to get Angry Birds. And outside of the Angry Birds franchise, they've not had a tremendous amount of success. 1.3 million apps, I think, is the figure I saw the other day, available to users. We all know that 75% of those apps will never be downloaded by anybody other than friends and family. 90% of apps are never opened more than once. And the average person who has 20 apps on their phone maybe uses 5 of them. And once you take things like Twitter and Facebook and their banking app and maybe a weather app, the ones they're using, everybody's using the same ones. Everybody is Facebook, everybody is LinkedIn, everybody is WhatsApp or Snapchat or Skype. You're wasting your time, you're wasting your money, and while it's really nice to be able to say, I have an app, I developed an app, if you don't have a budget and you don't have some overriding benefit for using that app, people are not going to use it. We look at, for instance, United Airlines or Southwest Airlines or American Airlines. Now, people do have a reason to use these apps. Obviously, you're going somewhere, you want to have your boarding pass, you want to have your flight status, you want to have all that good stuff. Well, that's great. But every single one of the airlines that I mentioned actually drops boarding passes as an option into Apple Passbook. And when you choose to have the boarding pass dropped into your Apple Passbook, all of a sudden, like in the case of United, for instance, I fly United all the time, and I usually fly them out of San Francisco. So I drop my boarding pass into my Passbook. I get to the TSA checkpoint in San Francisco, and through the magic of iBeacons and Passbook, United now has the ability to pop my boarding pass up for me on my lock screen as I'm approaching the TSA check-in. So all I have to do is hold my phone up, put it over the little scanner, and boom, I am through and on to security. So when you look at it from that perspective, even companies who have the ability to rely solely on their own app, they're not doing it. They are looking at Passbook as a way to make things sticky and to make an easier, more simplified user interaction. So our take on that is that everybody, should be looking at ways to simplify their user interactions in a sticky manner. If you want more information about deployments, suggestions for deployments, some examples of how people are using this in the real world, please go to our website, dominoresearch.com, and click the contact us on the very front page. Give us a little tiny bit of information, and we will be more than happy to get back to you. We can give you some white papers, some case studies if need be. We can set you up with a demo. Any of those things, we're more than happy to do that. If you aren't really interested in our product, but you want to know more about mobile wallet marketing, or you want a demo for comparison's sake or whatever, we're happy to do that too. One thing that we do feel pretty strongly about is that a rising tide lifts all boats. And we are happy to educate as much as we are to give you guidance on what product you should be buying to do your mobile wallet marketing with. So I'm Kim Stewart. Have a great week. And thanks for listening to this episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy.